Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. I'm Chuck, and I'm one of the pastors around here, and I'm really, really excited about the next 4 weeks. This series, The Guide, is coming at a really, really good time. You know, we've talked a lot about this year being kind of a year where we want to grow up, a year where we want to understand what does it mean to actually have a level of maturity in our lives as Christ followers. And if you're not at that place yet of saying yes to Jesus, hopefully today you'll get a picture of what the invitation is that Jesus offers through this guide. You know, the Bible tells us that God exists as one God, but he exists in three distinct persons. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, which is Jesus, and there's God the Holy Spirit. And we get different aspects of God, different experiences of God, as we interact and lean into these three unique persons of the Godhead, the Trinity. A mystery, but absolutely what the Bible shows us God exists in. And today, and in the next 4 weeks, we're looking at God the Holy Spirit, who is a guide to us, who Jesus promised to everyone who follows him. Everyone who surrenders to him gets the gift of the guide. This is how Jesus talks about it in John chapter 14. He says, "And I will ask the Father, God the Father, and he will give you another counselor." Why another counselor? Well, Jesus was sent as a counselor. He's saying this to the 12 men that he spent most of his time with. Another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is making a promise, not only to these 12, but to all who would follow him, that I will not leave you as orphans. I won't leave you alone to figure out what it looks like to grow in the spiritual life, but you will get the gift of the guide. The word here for the guide is the word paraclete, where it says another counselor. In some translations, it's comforter or helper, but the word is paraclete. And in the Greek, para is where we get the word alongside. It's where we get the word paramedic from, or paralegal. It's alongside. And the other part of that word, clete, was from the origin kaleo, which meant to be called. And what Jesus is saying is there's a guide given to you as a gift from the Father and me who is called alongside to help you walk this life. And when you get Jesus, you get the gift of the guide, and that's what we're going to be exploring in this series. Now, my wife and I, we're talking about this week, just our honeymoon. Our honeymoon was an example in our life where we got the gift of a guide. And our honeymoon, we went to Costa Rica, and as two city kids, we decided we want to do like something we'd never done before. It was the most money we had ever spent on a vacation, and we wanted to do it upright. And so we said, let's do the ecotourism thing. Let's go see the cloud forest. Let's see these volcanoes that they have there. And our trip was infinitely better because of these guys right here. On the left is Carlos. Carlos was our guide. Carlos has a PhD in geology. He knew the lay of the land in Costa Rica. He was able to point out all of the different flowers and animals and all the unique sites. And Marco was the driver. And we just, our trip was so good because we got a guide. We didn't know it at the time, but every day, Carlos was with us. This is called the poor man's umbrella. That's what they call this leaf. And here's me and Carlos by that. And we saw things through his eyes and with his insight that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. It was great to have a guide. One of the places we went is Poás, which is a volcano that's inactive, and you can look over the rim. So this is a picture from over the rim of this inactive volcano, and you can actually see what it looks like at the top of this thing. Just incredible. They had this terraced waterfall garden that you would walk from terrace to terrace, and there were waterfalls flowing down each level, and there was also a butterfly garden in this waterfall garden. And so there, this is a picture of Carlos and Maria hanging out with some of the butterflies. I don't think he was supposed to let us actually hold them, but we got hooked up. We got a good guide, right? So it was great. And we saw things that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. And not only did we see things like plants and animals and beautiful sights, but we also got to see Costa Rica through Carlos's eyes in the way that he experienced the country. And so one of the places he took us was a coffee plantation. It was owned by friends of his, and it's in the morning, and we're watching the sunrise, and we're eating, and we're drinking espresso, and it was just awesome. And this was a kind of off the beaten path place, a place he took us because he knew people there. Another place he took us was a little bodega, a little market on the side of the road, again, off the beaten path, and we just hung out there and had a great time. He was pointing out all the candies that he grew up eating, and it was really cool, and it was neat to see him relate to my wife, who's Puerto Rican, and some of the similarities. It was great. We built relationship over the 5 or 6 days we were with him, and it was incredible, and our trip was so much better with a guide. And that's what Jesus is promising us in the Holy Spirit. He's saying there's a trip. There's this journey of life, this journey of growth, but it's better with a guide. And you get the guide when you say yes to Jesus. You get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to say in this series, we're not talking about something that is so mystical and mysterious that it can't be grasped. This is going to be a super practical, right down the middle series. There will be practical things that you can do. We're going to talk about how we interact and trek with the guide. As a matter of fact, right now, we're going to take a look at a video of a regular guy who just is talking about how he experiences leadership from the guide. And as we do that, we're going to take up an offering. And if you're new, I want to say a special welcome to you. I'm glad you're joining us for this series. This is the part of the service where people who call Crossroads home, we give financially because we are excited about the things God's calling us to as a community and how we get to love and serve people in this community, in our city, and other churches in the city and around the world. And we give financially for that to happen. But if you're here for the first time, just want you to know we're not about your money. So when that bag comes down your aisle, you can just pass it to the next person. And let's take a look at Judd's story together.
When I think of what the Holy Spirit means to me as it relates to God, is that's kind of his way of actually interacting, coming alongside of you and you know, leading you this way or that way or prompting you one way or another. I think that's one of the greatest parts about being in community and intentionally being in community around God is that if you're not putting yourself in those situations to surround yourself with people who are open to that input from the Holy Spirit, from outside of yourself, you're cheating yourself of some great opportunities for God to communicate with you. I'd owned my own business for 15 years, construction business, and the economy obviously is terrible. And there were a lot of struggles around what's this gonna look like? How do we get past this? What do we do next? All these pressures and things, and you make adjustments and things, you know, we were getting by and things were going, but you quickly start to realize that no matter how much you prepare and how much you think you have the answers, you may not. And where are you going to get those answers? So I started to turn to God for those answers. And the answer I did not expect was, hey, maybe it's time to move on. Opportunities started to present themselves to where literally in a 6 to 8 month span, I've gone from owning my own business to selling that business and going to work with a friend of mine who is it's an incredible environment to work in. He's Christ-centered, it's just been a radical change from one point to the other. And I'm in a totally different industry doing something completely different. I went from construction to medical IT. Not only did I feel like I was being led to make this radical change, but I actually felt confident in making that change. Was it a decision that I made and I felt just 100%, yep, this is the right decision? No. I mean, you're going to have some trepidation in any major life change, you know, but viewed over time is pretty obvious and pretty amazing, but viewed as it happens was difficult to identify step by step. But I think God's always talking to us. And I think if we quiet things and we sit in it and we're open to that dialogue, if we're open to being led, he will lead us. Is really what it is. And I think that's the easiest thing to say is, you know, I may not understand where God is leading me, but it's just like a sheep and a shepherd. If I'm a sheep and I have the knowledge and wisdom of a sheep and the shepherd constantly leads me from one great field to the next, and he keeps me protected and safe and the wolves don't get me and whatever else, I don't have to know where he's leading me or if it's right or wrong. I'd know that every time I followed where he went, it was right. So I think if you're open to that, to let someone lead you, let the Holy Spirit lead you, he's already trying to have this dialogue with you. You open yourself to that dialogue. It's not as mystical as everybody thinks. It's pretty concrete, you know. I mean, if you call your dad up on the phone and say, Dad, this guy wants $7,000 for this car. Do you think that's a good deal? Your dad's going to go, no, that's crazy. You give him $5,000, you know. And it's that kind of a concrete, you trust what your dad says. You go, oh, okay, Dad knows. I mean, the house doesn't shake and the curtains blow and there's some spirit. Maybe for some people there is, but that isn't how I've experienced God. And I don't think it has to be that. I think if we really take a step back and listen, we'll realize he's talking. It's not going to be some Hollywood effect that you're hearing. It's there, you know, and it's real, and you just need to be aware of it.
Yes, yes, yes. Man, Judd hit the nail on the head. He's not been following Jesus that long. He hit the nail on the head so much so that I figured I'll just pray at this point and you can get the rest of your Sunday back. I mean, that's it. That's it. It's that simple. It is that simple. I love some of the things that he alludes to are so important to just establish right up front. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is not an aura. I'm not talking about a general sense of spiritual energy in the atmosphere somewhere. The Holy Spirit is a personal God that you can either choose to follow and hear, or you can choose to reject. We're talking about a relationship here. God's a relational God. The Spirit, the guide, is a relationship we choose to engage in or we choose not to engage in. And the other thing is, this isn't just reserved for super Christians. You know, if we have baggage around the Holy Spirit, some of us are like, man, I've never heard this stuff before. This is all new. But if it's not new, and maybe if when you heard it was a Holy Spirit series, you cringed a little bit, it's because you've had these experiences where someone has said to you, if you don't have this unique experience of the Holy Spirit that's unique to me or others like me, then you don't really have the full deal. And I just want to say right up front, Jesus says all people who say yes to him receive the gift of the guide. You have the gift of the guide when you surrender and say yes to Jesus. Now, there are empowering things that can happen. There are unique and incredible things. There's always more to experience of the Spirit, but you've got the guide when you say yes to Jesus. This isn't just reserved for hyper-Christians or, like I call them, big Bible people, people who carry really big Bibles. This isn't just reserved for them. It isn't just reserved for that. And the other thing I would say is it doesn't mean that when you start engaging with the Holy Spirit, you become a card-carrying member of Weirdoville. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Some of you are like, man, I'm up for more of the Spirit, but please just don't make me weird. Oh my God. I got people in my family like that. I got people in my house like that. Ah, just don't make me weird. And I'm just saying, there's some things that will happen that will be strange. You know, forgiving people who hurt you is strange to people. And that's absolutely a place where the Spirit will guide you. You know, being radically generous will be strange to people. And those are places the Spirit will guide you. There is an empowering grace of the Spirit that is given to people. It's called the gifts of the Spirit. And some people have incredible gifts to understand things about people they shouldn't know. And that comes from the Spirit. And some of you, the Spirit can empower you through prayer to pray for people who are sick and they will actually be healed. Those are things that can happen. It's not about being weird for weird's sake, but it's about being open to this adventure, this invitation we have to engage with the Spirit. Kind of one of the grounding statements for me about engaging the Holy Spirit comes from a pastor I really respect. He said this. He said, if we think of the Holy Spirit as a mysterious power, our thought will continually be, how can I get more of the Spirit? How can I get more of that power? But if we think of the Holy Spirit as a person, our thought will be, how can the Holy Spirit have more of me? And this series is about how can the guide have more of me? How can the guide have more of us? And so today we want to take a 30,000-foot view of the lay of the land we're going to be covering over the next 4 weeks by digging in on three specific questions. First, where is the guide taking us? Where's the ultimate destination? Second question is, how does the guide lead us? How does that actually work in our lives practically, day to day? And then the third question is, what is our role? What is our role in the interaction we have when we trek with the guide? Where is the guide taking us? How does the guide lead us? And what's our role? First, where is the guide taking us? Where is he taking us? And we get very clear pictures, a clear definition of the endpoint, many places in Scripture. Let me show you two of them. Romans 8 and in 1 John. Romans 8, 29 says, for those God foreknew. And let me say, I'm going to be using a lot of Bible today. And the reason for that is I want you to see the survey of how the Holy Spirit, how the guide is discussed in Scripture. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, to be formed to the likeness of God the Son, Jesus. That's where the Holy Spirit's taking us. 1 John puts it this way. This is how we know we are in him, in Jesus. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Must walk as Jesus did. So where's the ultimate destination? It's this. The guide is taking us toward looking like Jesus. That's where the guide is taking you over the course of your life. He's taking you to look like Jesus, to live like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to serve like Jesus, to be empowered like Jesus. That's the place he's taking you. That is the ultimate destination. And if you're like me, you're like, man, that's kind of generally interesting, but I need a little bit more clarity on that, you know? So how do I know how I'm doing on that one? Well, I want you to know there's actually a list. There's actually a list of the kinds of things that are happening in your life as you interact with the guide. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5:22, we get this list. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the kind of fruit the Spirit is producing, fruit that produces these things. in your life. The Spirit is taking you to places where it is a default for you to ascribe worth to other people at cost to yourself, which is a great definition of love. He's taking you to places where you're more loving. The Spirit is taking you to places, the guide is leading you to places where there is joy in your life. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness is situational. It depends on what's happening. But joy is something you can have despite situations. And this is where the guide is taking you, to places of more joy. He's taking you to places of peace. You know, so many of us, if we're honest, our core motivation in life is fear. Our core motivation in life is fear. We are so afraid. And he's taking you to places. The God wants you to go to places of peace, not fear. He wants to take you to places of patience, not impatience. Places of kindness and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. This is what the guide is doing in your life. These are the places he's taking you to, places that look like Jesus. And I love this picture of fruit. Love this picture of fruit because there's some things I know about fruit. One is I know that fruit grows over time. You know, it was a beautiful day yesterday, and if you got out and did some planting, you're not going to be upset if when you go home today, you don't see any fruit on that plant, right? Because you recognize it takes time. Fruit takes time. I tell this to my wife all the time. Honey, you have to understand, the fruit God's producing in me takes time. It takes time, you know? That's good news. That's good news, you know? Fruit produces over time. That's what I know. And here's the other thing I know about fruit. If you plant a certain seed, you will always get that fruit. If you plant apple seed, you will always get apples. If you plant orange seed, you will always get oranges. And this should give us great comfort as people who follow Jesus, because I don't have to strive or work or try to force my way into looking more like Jesus. This is the place that God naturally takes me when I follow him. That's a great thing. And I can just trust the leadership of the guide, knowing it's going to take me to places that look like Jesus. That's where the guide is taking us. How does he do that? How does he lead us? How does the guide lead us to these places? Well, it's interesting. The Bible talks about this a lot, and it uses the language of our minds, of our minds. Here's one place. Romans 8, 5 through 8 says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And I love this picture of the mind. When that word is used, the mind, it's talking about your heart, will, emotions, all of the inner motivation of who you are, the things that make you do what you do. That's what the Holy Spirit is working on in our life. This might be unique to me, but when I was a teenager, I did some really dumb things, like repeatedly dumb things. One of the dumb things that I would do is I would actually mouth off to my mother. It's a really dumb thing to do, especially if you have my mother. That's a really dumb thing to do. And so my mom had a saying that just kind of put me in my place. When I would get too mouthy with her, she would look at me and she would say, Chuck, have you lost your natural mind? That's what she'd say to me. And, you know, that was not a good thing. That typically worked for me to kind of quiet down a little bit. Have you lost your natural mind? But here's what Romans 8 is saying is, you know what the Spirit, the guide, you know what he's actually leading you to do? He's leading you to literally lose your natural mind. Because it's saying our natural minds don't naturally trend toward love. They don't naturally trend toward peace. They don't trend toward gentleness. They don't trend toward self-sacrifice. That's not where our natural mind, the natural mind, the mind apart from interaction with the guide, is a place of death. Death-producing thoughts like resentment and anger and grudges we can't get over. That's where our natural mind goes. And the Spirit, the guide, literally changes your mind. That's where he works. He literally changes your mind. Now, some of you are questioning me right now. Some of you are like, well, I don't know that my natural mind is so mixed up or screwed up. I mean, that might be true for people around me for sure, but I don't know if that's true for me. I want to give you a quick litmus test. This will happen in just a few minutes from now. Many of you drove here today. You drove in cars. Just let somebody cut you off in the parking lot, and you will find out what is in your natural mind. Does your natural mind flow toward, I'm going to just let that pass, or do these words just seem to be flowing out of your natural mind? You know? Gestures just seem to flow out of your natural mind. Some of you give them to the parking team. I can't believe that. But these gestures just flow out of your natural mind. And I'm telling you, our natural mind apart from the Spirit will not lead us toward being more loving. It won't lead us toward more peace. We need the guide to lead us. We need him to literally change our mind. And one of the key tools he uses to change our mind is illuminating the pages of the Bible, illuminating Scripture. I'm going to talk about this for a minute. You know, I talk to people a lot, and some people I talk to are following Jesus and have been, and some people are not. And it is not uncommon when I interact with people who aren't following Jesus for them to say, I've tried the Bible. I've tried to read that thing, and it just didn't do anything for me. I've tried to, you know, read it. I mean, there's some general wisdom maybe I got from it, but it doesn't really seem to affect me the way it affects people around me. I don't get that, but that's where I'm at. And I want you to know, it is very possible to read the Bible and get absolutely nothing out of it. And it's because one of the gifts of the guide is the guide helps to illuminate the pages in this book. Helps to illuminate things. And the way that I would describe this illumination is it's like feeling a tap on the shoulder. You know, sometimes I'm reading the Bible and I might come across a story or I'll come across, and I've read most of the words in here, but some, they just pop. And I describe it as it's almost like the guy coming to me and saying, hey, Chuck, that one right there, that's good stuff. You need to circle that. That's good. That's good. Hey, Chuck, this one right here, how you doing on that one? How you doing on that one? It's like feeling a tap on the shoulder, and the guide illuminates Scripture for us in that way. Now, one of the reasons for that is because according to the Bible, the guide is actually the author of Scripture. This is what it says in 2 Peter 1 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. As they were guided by the guide, the words in the Bible took shape. So yes, God used real men with real imperfections, with real cultural dynamics over time to put the pages of the Bible together. But over and above all of that, the guide was leading the very words that got penned and captured in the Bible. And when you interact with the guide, he has an ability to illuminate those words for you. Now, I want to say that that doesn't mean that the only place you're going to hear from the guide is when you read the Bible. It doesn't mean that. But here's what the Bible does. The Bible gives me a set of rails by which I can discern whether those taps on the shoulder are from the guide or if they're from my natural mind. And I need that. So one of the simple things I can do is when I get a tap on the shoulder, if I feel prompted to do something or prompted to respond in a certain way to a certain situation, I can ask myself a simple question. Does this look like Jesus? Does this look like what I see of Jesus? Does this look like the fruits of the Spirit? Does it look like love? Does it look like patience? Does it look like peace? What does this look like? And I can also just go directly to Scripture and say, hey, does the guide have anything specifically to say about the situation? And I can let that kind of be a compass to help me navigate through the taps on the shoulder. I'm going to share with you a couple taps on the shoulder that I've had recently. A few of these just keep popping up for me. One is I was reading in the New Testament, there's a letter, two letters actually, written to an early church leader named Timothy, and they're about pastoral leadership. So I've been reading those over and over again. And it wasn't something I necessarily thought I would be reading, but I just felt prompted. I got a tap on the shoulder. You need to just read through this. And I've been reading through it. And one of the things that kind of popped for me, a tap on the shoulder, was this list. There's a list there about the qualities of someone who wants to spiritually lead other people. And I don't know, call me crazy, but I would assume that a list for a spiritual leader, someone who's leading followers of Jesus, would probably have at the first part of the list, the top of the list, at least the person should maybe like, at least like Jesus. Maybe they should even know Jesus. That might be helpful. But interestingly, the first item on that list is that leaders should be hospitable. Hospitality, interesting. I read a lot of leadership books. None of them talk about hospitality. They don't. But yet this is talking about hospitality. And it was like a tap on the shoulder. Hey, let's dig into that a little bit. And I just followed the guide, and I just began to think about that and consider that in my own life. And one of the things that struck me was, for good reason, Maria and I don't have people over our house a lot anymore because we've got these things called children and toys all over the place. And it's just challenging for us. And so that's something we don't do as much as we would love to. And we've just been hearing that and kind of feeling that we need to still lean into hospitality. And so we've been, in small ways, just opening up our home, the people we want to build into or people we have relationship with, and just feeling like this is something that God is leading us to. And can I just tell you, it's been really sweet for our family. It's been great to kind of do things together as a team. You know, I get to do a lot of ministry within the four walls of this place. And while I'm here doing ministry, my wife is at home. And so it's nice to be able to say, no, this is ministry we're doing together. in our home. And there's a sweetness to that. It's also been cool to teach my son just the basics of hospitality. Nathan loves greeting people at the door now, you know, just little things like that, teaching him what does it look like to open up your life, to open up your home to people you care about as a way of showing them love, to prepare a meal for people, to show them that you care about them, to have good conversation with people, to get him around positive role models. It's just great. There's benefits on both sides. There's no doubt that was the guide leading our family to a place where we're just engaging and practicing hospitality more than we were before. And it's sweet. It's sweet. Another one for me, another tap on the shoulder, is that I regularly need to be in positions where I am coming under the authority of another teacher, where I'm coming under the authority of someone else's teaching. I heard this will shock you, this shocked me. I heard that for people who have an opportunity to speak in front of large groups of people, that over time that can actually affect their ego with this thing called pride. It's shocking to me. I mean, I don't know any people like that, let me just be clear, but apparently that's a side effect of this kind of deal. And, you know, for me, yeah, that's a tension. That's a real tension. How do I stay in a place of humility? How do I do that? And one of the things that I feel like been a tap on the shoulder from the guide is, why don't you sit under the teaching of other people? And I'm not talking about sitting in the teaching of big pastors of big churches and somewhere else in the country. No, there are great teachers in this community, people who will never show up on this stage. And I need to sit under them, and I need to learn from them. I need to be under their authority. And I'm doing that. And I'm prioritizing doing that as much as I can because it's a practice in humility. It's a way for me to humble myself. And I want to do that. I had lunch with a woman like that. She's just super wise beyond her years. And I just sat down with her, and there were some things she challenged me on. There were some things she corrected in me. There were some things she encouraged in me. And I benefited greatly from that. And I want to do more of that. I want to continue to put myself under the authority of teachers because I want to stay in a place of humility. And that's absolutely where the guide is taking me. Let me give you one more, and this is a little bit more involved one for me. Probably the big thing that I'm experiencing leadership on from the guide right now in my life. And it happened as I was interacting with the guide, reading a book that I was using for my time with God, where the guide tapped me on the shoulder and pointed out yet another sin that I struggle with. Don't you love that? Don't you love when you find out one more thing that you're falling short in? I mean, that just makes my day. I don't know about you. I just love that. Love that. And here was one, and it has a weird name. It's a word we don't really use anymore. It's the word vainglory. Vainglory. And I'm like, what in the world is that? And so as it began to be described in this book, vainglory is basically when you strive for and desire the affirmation of other people to determine your own self-worth. And man, I just hit me. That was a tap I didn't want, but it was a tap. And it was like, you struggle with this one. You struggle with this one. And so what do? I just begin to interact with the guide and say, I don't want to. Could you lead me away from that? And what started to happen was I started to see the leadership of the guide. The first thing is I realized that for me, vainglory, while certainly I'm at risk of it when I do things in public like this, for me, the bigger issue is there's a handful of people. There's a handful of people, specific people, whose opinions of me matter so much that, quite frankly, my day can rise or fall based on their opinion of me. Based on their comments about me, based on their criticism of me, based on their encouragement to me, based on what they like that I'm doing. And I realized this, and I'm like, oh man, I gotta really wrestle with this. And it's not about going to a place where you're callous and don't care what people think, but it really is about recognizing I'm not to get my worth from other people in the way that I get my worth from God. And I just need to wrestle with that. One of the other taps on the shoulder that happened for me around vainglory is I realized I need to start journaling on this regularly. I need to daily check in with myself and with the guide and say, what was today like for me? Was this a day I struggled with it? That was one of the ways I understood who the people were that I struggled with it the most around. It's just the regular rhythms of journaling, like, oh, okay, I see that. The guide is showing me this. And that was something I felt led to do. And then this other thing happened that seemed out of left field at first. I was meeting with a friend, totally different topic, had nothing to do with vainglory. And in the midst of the conversation, he mentioned a book that he was reading. Hey, have I told you about XYZ book? And I'm like, no. And, you know, just kind of went on from there. And later on, it was like a week later, I realized, I got a tap on the shoulder, like, that book is what you need to read. You need to read that book. It'll help you. And I got the prompting in my kitchen. I pulled out my phone. I texted him, what's the title of that book again? He sent it to me, and I got the book, and it really is. There's stuff in there that I'm engaging with the guide around, and it's healthy for me. It's really healthy for me, and I just realized vainglory is one of those things that the guide is leading me out of, and that's my story on that. What'd you think? Did you like that? Was that a good story? Is that good for you? Seriously, if you want to, you can send me an email this week and tell me how good that was, how that personally impacted. That would be great. That would be great. I'm a work in progress on that one. I'm a work in progress. You know, and this is what I see. I see the guide taking me to places because I'm allowing him to lead me. And that's a unique thing. Our role with this, our role, what do we do? How do we respond to the leadership of the guide? It couldn't be more simple, and it couldn't be more difficult. And it's this. I think it's summed up really well in Galatians 5:25, which says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's it. That's it. I mean, this set is amazing, right? I mean, this is awesome. These trees, and if you were in the wood, you can clap. I mean, there's creative people who have put great time into this, and you know, if you were going to go on a hike with a guide, it literally is a step-by-step process, is it not? You start at a point and you just walk, and they show you things. They take you places. They're pointing out different dynamics of the landscape to you. You keep in step with the Spirit. And that's our role. The guide leads people who follow. The guide leads people who follow. Can you imagine the insanity of me trying to guide Carlos through Costa Rica? I mean, how crazy would that be? Let's just play that out. So, you know, it's the next day. They're coming to pick us up. And I say to Marco, Marco, why don't you get in the back? I'm going to drive us to Poaz Volcano today. Well, Chuck, have you ever been to Costa Rica? No, but I stayed in Holiday Inn Express last night. So, I'm good. I can handle this. And I get in the car, and somehow, by the grace of God, we get to Poaz. We get there. And then all of a sudden, I'm saying to the PhD in geology, let me explain some things to you about what we have here. Carlos, come with me. Come, Carlos, this is a log. This is a log. Logs come from trees, Carlos. They come from trees. And I know this is a log because it looks like every other log that I've seen in my life. So this is a log. Carlos, do you understand? Now, what you have to understand is I don't know what kind of tree this came from, but I do know it's a log from a tree. And so, Carlos, are you learning something today? Great. Carlos, okay, this little thing on the ground right here, this is an insect. Pay attention. This is an insect. How do I know it's an insect? Well, Carlos, I'm a member of the Cincinnati Zoo. I am, and I took a class, and in that class, I learned a song that pointed out the three major body parts that every insect must have. Head, thorax, abdomen, abdomen, head, thorax, abdomen, abdomen. Yeah, so this is what I know. And so when I look at this, I see head, you see the head, thorax, which is just an incredible word to say, I love saying that word, abdomen. So Carlos, this is a bug, and it's a male. It's a male bug. How do I know it's a male bug? Well, I have a 50% chance of being right. Therefore, it's a male. It's just, you just take your shots where you can. So it's a male bug. Carlos, have you learned anything today? Why don't you sing that song back to me just to make sure you got the principle? Okay, this is a bug. This is a bug. And Carlos, let's go up to the top of Poaz Volcano and look over the rim. And I will tell you that this is an inactive volcano. How do I know that? Well, because there are other people around the rim of this volcano. And crowds are always right. So this must be an inactive volcano. I mean, that's crazy, right? That's crazy. I mean, you would never pay good money for a guide and then attempt to guide the guide. You wouldn't do that. And yet, you know what? That's exactly what we do when we reject those taps on the shoulder of the guide, of the Holy Spirit. We say in so many words, in subtle ways, maybe not overt, but we say, hey, I know you kind of have a sense of what life's supposed to be, but I got a really good plan I'm working right here. It's really working for me. If you want to come and help and add resources to my plan, I'll take that all the time. But I'm not really interested in you veering me from what I want, from who I am. I kind of feel good about myself right now. And that's exactly what we do. And what I've learned is the guide leads people who follow. And what I want to say to you is the guide is also all about grace. And so if you've ignored taps on the shoulder over and over again, that doesn't mean you can't access the guide again. First of all, if you said yes to Jesus, the gift of the guide never goes away. Jesus said he will be with you forever. You don't lose the guide. But boy, you can certainly come to places in your life where it's hard to hear his voice because you've been ignoring his voice. And maybe for some of you, you've never said that first yes, that first surrender, that first request for the guide. And in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that because it is simple to follow the guide. Incredibly challenging to do day in and day out, but it is simple. It is simply asking and receiving his direction. I got one more story to share with you guys that I got this week in staff prayer. Every Wednesday, all the staff at Crossroads gets together, and we have a time of interacting with each other and sharing stories. And one of the great stories this week came from Kids Club. And it's about five-year-old Nolan, and it speaks just so clearly about how simple it is to hear the voice of the guide and follow. So let me read this to you. This is from his mom. My five-year-old son Nolan was bumped out of the fours room this morning, so we asked that he be put into the kindergarten room. What a great experience this was for him. His younger brother had gotten in trouble the night before, and when we collected him from Kids Club, he informed us that he wanted to take his brother's consequence or punishment. He was willing to give up something that he loved, playing Angry Birds before bed. Nolan has good taste. So that his brother could play. It was out of left field that he asked to do this, but we just knew it had to be from Kids Club. Upon further prodding, we found out that his leader in Kids Club, Miss Nicole, had suggested that the kids take a consequence or punishment for their brothers or sisters because Jesus took the consequence for them. I was nearly moved to tears that my five-year-old was moved enough by someone to want to take a consequence for his brother. A big thanks to Kids Club and to Miss Nicole. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Now, I'd be willing to bet you that if I invited little Nolan up on stage, he wouldn't say, well, let me explain to you all how the Holy Spirit led me. That wouldn't be the language he would use, but Nolan absolutely responded to the prompting of the guide. And it's that simple. In fact, Jesus says over and over again, you know what would make following me really easy? Is if you approach it like a child. If you approach it like a child and simply go where I'm taking you, man, it gets really simple really quickly, and you get the best stuff, and you will hear the voice of the guide. This is another thing Jesus said about this beautiful invitation. John 7, final scripture. He says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Jesus is basically giving you an offer. He's saying, are you thirsty? Man, is it thirsty to try to figure out how life's supposed to work when so much of it is out of your control? Does that leave you thirsty? Does that leave you lacking? Is it thirsty to try to figure out how to navigate the difficulty and complexities of relationships, mistakes you've made, mistakes other people have made that you're dealing with? Is it thirsty? Does it leave you thirsty? Does it leave you lacking or leave you wanting? And Jesus just says, hey, there's a guide. And here's the invitation of the guide. It's not that you just get a sip of water. It's that you get so much water that a river of life-giving water will flow from within you, outside of you, that you'll have more than enough to give away. That's the beautiful invitation of the Spirit, beautiful invitation of receiving the guide. So I just want to give you, in these last few moments, we're going to say a prayer together, and then we're going to sing one more song. And I just want to give you an opportunity to receive the guide. You know, for some of us, maybe you've never made that initial surrender to Jesus. Jesus says very clearly, hey, just come to me, believe in me, trust me. And when you trust me with your life, you get the guide. And maybe you thought that had to be some really complex thing, or someone told you had to pray a specific prayer. And I'm just telling you, in whatever language works for you, you can receive the guide right now. You can receive. Because really, all following Jesus is a choice of one surrender after the other over time. That's all it is. And this could be your first one today. And maybe for others of us, we have said yes to Jesus. We're in this relationship with him. But if we're honest, man, we've ignored a lot of taps on the shoulder from the guide. And it's been hard to hear his voice recently. And I want you to know, I believe in what the scripture says. The scripture says you can be filled with the Spirit. And I don't believe that being filled with the Spirit is just a one-time thing. I believe it's an ongoing, daily, every day, over and over, moment by moment experience of experiencing more and more of that life-giving water. And so if you're a follower of Jesus and it's been dry lately, I want you to know you can be filled. You can be filled. And so I just want to give you space, in whatever words make sense for you, to just ask for the filling of the Spirit, to just ask for more, ask for leadership of the God, ask to hear his voice, ask for taps on the shoulder that you can respond to. And that response is just saying, I'll follow you. And the guide will lead you. So I want you guys to close your eyes, if you would, and I want you to bow your heads. And the reason we close our eyes in this moment is because this is just between you and the guide. And I don't want you to be distracted. I don't want you to feel like maybe the person who brought you is looking at you to try to figure out how you're going to respond in this moment. This is between you and the guide. And I want you to know that that invitation stands, and today you can receive the guide. And I just want to give you a few moments, just a few seconds, and in whatever words work for you, whatever ways it makes sense for you to say it, I want you to invite the guide in. I want you to invite the leadership of the guide in your life. I'll give you a few moments to do that now. Holy Spirit, what I know, because the scripture says it, is that you respond to those requests. Jesus' words are true. All we have to do is believe and come and say we're thirsty. And we get you. We get the gift of the guide. So Holy Spirit, for everybody who prayed that prayer, for everybody who said, for the first time, I want the leadership of the guide, or people who said, fill me again, I just know that you'll do that. And so I thank you for it in advance. I thank you for the ways, even now, that they will experience the filling presence of the guide in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things before you leave. One, I want to give you a practical exercise, a way to interact with the guide this week. If you got a program on your way in, on the first panel, you'll see there's some daily questions for the guide. I really got a lot out of just having a regular time of processing through the vainglory thing. And these are two questions that are just really helpful if you want to sense what the guide might be saying to you. The first question just says, when were you leading my thoughts or actions today? And this is something you could do at the end of your day, maybe at the beginning of your day as you reflect on the day before. Is just ask the guide for the places where maybe he was inviting you into patience or inviting you into peace or inviting you into other things that he wants to grow in you. And you could just ask, when was that happening for me today? And then a second question is, did I respond to you or did I reject you? Did I respond or did I reject? How did I do with those taps on the shoulder that I received? And I want you to know, this isn't about guilt. This isn't about guilt, and so if you find that you're rejecting the guide, then just simply resolve to follow. Just simply resolve to respond. Simply resolve to follow through on those taps on the shoulder. Just forgive yourself, know that you're forgiven, and follow from that point forward. Just a practical way to engage with the guide. I encourage you to do that this week. The other thing is, I want to invite you back on Wednesday for Last Wednesday. Last Wednesday, we do the last Wednesday of every month, and it's a time for us to come back together. There's more music. That's where communion happens. It's a great time of connection with others, and I just want to invite you particularly for this one because there's some fun stuff happening I'd love for you to check out and be a part of. So right here, right in this room, 7 p.m., Last Wednesday, and as you leave, may this be a week that you hear from the guide clearly and you follow where he's taking you. Thanks for coming, everybody.